Happy Easter, everyone. That is one of my favorites, too. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy, whether you're joining us on a screen or right here in the sanctuary. So glad you decided to spend just a little bit of your Easter Sunday here with us. We have this season worked our whole way through the book of Mark. Mark is one of those ancient biographies about Jesus in your Bibles. And we last left off the story with Jesus in a tomb and the stone rolled in front. Now today, something unexpected, something earth-shattering happens that occurs that none of Jesus' disciples, none of the followers of Jesus saw coming. Now, working with college students, unexpected events is like normally the name of the game most days. After 8 years of serving as a campus pastor, I was moving on and the students decided to get together. During my last week, they plotted and they decided to redecorate my office. So they plastered the wall of my office with selfies, pictures of themselves all over my office, and so many balloons that I couldn't even get into my office. Now I am 99% sure my office mates gave them the key to my office, and I thought I could trust them. How dare they? So when I arrived that morning, I couldn't even walk in, much less get my work started for the day. So I thought, well, what's a guy to do? So I gave Vicky, my wife, a call, and she brought over my preschool-age son and his friends. So they, in quick order, helped me pop all of the balloons, and we sorted through the pictures of the college students so I could follow up with them and blame them with evidence later to what they did. It truly was a very kind, practical joke from all the other things they could have chosen to done. Do with access to my office, but it was an unexpected event in my day. Friends, unexpected events can absolutely be joy-filled and exciting things. So let's take one more jump into the book of Mark together and discover the unexpected event that no one saw coming. We're going to be in Mark 16 today. You are welcome to follow along in your own Bible, on your favorite device, or up here on the screen with me. The story begins Saturday night. This is one day after Jesus' death on the cross. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Now, due to the timing of Good Friday and his death, they did not have time to finish preparing Jesus' body for burial. So they're coming back Sunday morning to finish this task, which is actually the first of two stages of the ancient burial process. In those days, the first phase was to be buried in a tomb. Borrowing somebody's tomb, like Jesus does here, was not uncommon. People would borrow each other's tombs, and then much years later, they would recover the remains and bury them in a smaller box somewhere else. You may occasionally come across news stories or things in your social media feed that they found this ossuary box. They found an ossuary box in the first century, and James, the disciple's bones are in it. And if you wondered what on earth that is, that's what it is. An ossuary box is the second phase in a burial, and every now and then, archaeologists would come across one, and you'll see it on the news, an ancient burial box. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Now you know what an ossuary box is. Next time you're on Jeopardy, you're good to go. So, Mary, and Salome make a run to the store. They get the supplies needed for this first phase of the burial. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb? They got a practical concern. It is a large boulder in front of the tomb. Who's going to help them out? Now, I imagine as they're walking on this journey, they're going from the village to where this tomb is located, they are recounting not just the events of the past few days, but everything that's happened to them in the last couple of years, all this walking with Jesus. They believed Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the one their people have been waiting centuries for. And instead of Jesus breaking Israel off from Rome's oppression, kicking Rome out of their land, Jesus, their friend, their teacher, is brutally and unjustly killed for upsetting the status quo with the religious leaders. Their hope for a bright future, their hope for a different future, is gone, dashed, and here they find themselves carrying burial spices to a tomb. There were times these women, all the other disciples, they were amazed at what Jesus could do, his teachings, his miracles. He provided food. He controlled nature. He raised the dead. There were times of terror. They dealt with demons. They thought they were going to die on the sea until Jesus stopped the storm. There were times of confusion. Jesus' teachings that went way over their heads. They had no idea what he was talking about, and he even told things to them clearly that they just couldn't fathom. They just could not wrap their minds around. Amazement and fear and confusion. These are common feelings and experiences for all of us, every age, every stage of life. At various times, we find ourselves in wonder of the world that God created and the people that God created as people do incredibly compassionate and merciful and just things. At other times, we find ourselves fearful and confused because the world is broken, and sometimes people are awful and mean and evil to each other. And storms come up, both literally and metaphorically, destroying lives and livelihoods. We lose relationships through distance. We lose relationships through disconnection and death. While the world of the first century of the disciples, this might seem just alien and foreign to us, there are things that are universal for all time. Amazement, fear, confusion, death, that is a universal human experience that cuts across all time. Now, during this morning walk, I'm sure the women thought they were done. They were done with amazement, fear, and confusion leading to death. Leading to Jesus because he is dead. And people don't come back from the dead. What they found when they arrived at the tomb that morning was a scene they didn't expect, and I'm guessing they didn't believe for some time after. But as the women arrived, they looked up, and they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. Confusion yet again connected to Jesus. That's weird. Stones moved away. No soldiers. What's happening? And when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body." No soldiers, no stone, no body, just an angel telling the women, "Jesus is not here. He's risen. Could I take a message for him?" That's what they encounter. So many of us have grown up with this story that Jesus not being there doesn't surprise us anymore. Of course, it's Easter. It happens every year. But for Mary and Salome, this was far beyond anything they could have imagined or dreamed. It doesn't fit. It wasn't even the realm of possibility that Jesus could rise from the dead. It does not matter. Jesus told them multiple times. We've read over the last month in Mark, he told them a couple different times this would happen, and it just doesn't register. Whether or not they just didn't hear it, which is possible, or what is more likely, it was so beyond anything they could imagine. It was so beyond anything that happens in their day, they just couldn't absorb it, couldn't process it. They were not ready for that event or all the change it would bring. Their plan to anoint a body is foiled because Jesus is alive in a different location. Luckily, the angel has a task for them to set them on their new path. The angel said, "Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." Just a little reminder that, hey, Jesus did tell you this was going to happen. This shouldn't be a shock. But it's still a shock. The first missionaries of the resurrection, the first to tell the world that Jesus is alive, risen from the dead, that he conquered death, were three women. The women's perseverance, they followed him through his death, his suffering, his death, leads them to be the first witness to the greatest news the world has ever known, this event that changes everything. Now, throughout the book of Mark, and actually in your Bible as a whole, Jesus reverses all different kinds of things that happened at the beginning. And one of these is that in Mark's day, women were not thought of as highly, and that's putting it mildly. Women could not testify in court because they were seen as unreliable witnesses. And they become the first missionaries, the first witnesses of the resurrection. Throughout the book of Mark, and actually all of the ancient biographies, the gospels you got about Jesus, it is everyone who those in power think nothing of that see who Jesus is in the first place. It's everyone who those in power think of as the outcast, the outsiders, the margins that don't matter. They're the ones who see who Jesus is first. The women, the scorned, the poor, the blind, the broken, the repentant, even the demon-possessed all see Jesus for who he is, King, God in the flesh, before his resurrection. And those in power don't see it coming at all. The women's perseverance can absolutely encourage us in our darkest moments, in the times we suffer, in the times we mourn the loss of those that we love. They leaned on each other. And we need to lean on each other in times of loss. We need to lean into God and to lean into each other when our faith just isn't there. When our faith isn't there in the dark moments, we lean on each other so we carry faith for others when they can't carry it themselves. We can help each other persevere in faith when circumstances, when life, when choices other people make it very difficult to believe. God entrusts this message that will change the world forever, that is still changing the world today, with three terrified, shocked, frightened, bewildered women. Now, if you were going to make up a story for people to believe, you might have just at least put men in this place in the first century to give it credibility. But because some folks do think that Jesus, him rising from the dead, was just this nice thing the disciples came up with because they were sad at losing their friend. Now, if you're going to make up a story, you wouldn't tell it like this. This little tidbit that women are the first missionaries to the resurrection lends evidence that this story isn't made up, that this story is, in fact, an historical event that changes everything. It changes you and me. Did you notice in this passage, Peter gets a shout out? Tell the disciples, including Peter. Why is that? Well, because on Friday, Peter denies knowing Jesus. Peter, the one who Jesus called the rock, who's going to build this church, Peter denies knowing Jesus multiple times. And the rooster crows. The angel wanted the women to let Peter know he's still welcome. He's still included. Tell the disciples, including Peter. Even though he denied knowing Jesus, basically to prevent himself from getting harmed or killed, Jesus doesn't hold that against him. He doesn't hold it against Peter. There is forgiveness for Peter. There is restoration of relationship. There is healing for Peter if Peter wants it. Friends, that's true for all of us. It does not matter where life's journey has taken us. It does not matter the choices, sometimes the very poor and harmful choices that we've made. Jesus always welcomes us back. Jesus always welcomes us back. So often when we travel the path that leads us far from God, we think we've got to travel a certain ways back before we can get to Jesus. We think, well, I've got to get my life in order. I've got to get this habit under control. I've got to get this addiction under control before I get to Jesus. But guess what? As soon as we turn around, Jesus is right there. We don't have to get ourselves cleaned up before we follow Jesus. As soon as we turn around and say, yes, Jesus, I surrender to you, he's there. And he helps transform us from the inside out. He helps us deal with the destructive patterns and behaviors and addictions and things that not only harm others, but harm ourselves. As soon as we turn around, as soon as we say, yes, Jesus, you're my Lord, he is right there, and he helps to change us immediately. We don't clean ourselves up before coming to Jesus. We do that work with Jesus. So Mary and Salome, they've got their marching orders. They know what they're supposed to do. Go tell the disciples Jesus is risen from the dead. They're going to run back to the disciples with confidence, sharing absolutely what has happened, and convince these men that they are right. Let's go to the story. The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. I mean, I certainly don't blame them. I think my response would be the same. If I'm intending to do one thing and instead there's an angel there telling me, my friend who was dead is now alive, now go tell these other people, I'd be frightened and bewildered and terrified. It is a perfectly normal reaction to incredible otherworldly things. And friends, that is the end of the book of Mark. Curtain closes, roll credits. That's it? That's it. Mark does not tell us what happens next. And for those of us who grew up in this part of the world, especially in America, most of our stories, most of the movies we watch have a nice little bow put on them because we like to know the rest of the story. Other parts of the world, they produce stories like this all of the time that's supposed to make us ask, okay, what now? What am I supposed to do with this information? How does this affect me? You're supposed to put yourself in here and figure out what to do next. This ending reminded me of the movie Castaway from a number of years ago. Tom Hanks plays a FedEx employee who's stranded on a deserted island for years. And he does finally make it home, but it's been years, and so everyone has moved on without him. And the movie ends right here at a literal crossroads on a country road. Actually, I think it's Highway 83 in Texas, which is interesting for our part of the world. Anyway, that's how the movie ends. Which direction is he going to go? We don't know what happens. It fades to black, roll credits. And it drives some of us crazy. Is he going to begin a new life somewhere else? Is he going to go to his hometown and start something new? What happens? The ending of Mark feels just like this. We sit with this story, everything Jesus has said and taught, the angel's message, did he really rise from the dead? And we end with these women bewildered and shocked. Do we believe any of this? Do we believe any of this at all? Does it feel like an ending the disciples just conjured up because they didn't want to lose their friend? Or is Jesus really who he says he was? The Messiah, the Savior, God in the flesh, come to save us from ourselves, to die our death, and to rise again so we can experience abundant life now and in the life yet to come. There's a part of me that likes this ending because the responsibility is now on us. It's on me. It's on you. So now what, friends? We've just experienced another Easter. Jesus is risen from the dead. So what are you going to do about it? You just go back and live your life as you did before. You think about Jesus every now and then, a couple of days, every couple of weeks or so, and we just go back to normal. Or is it time to take serious his deep call to discipleship, to following Jesus every day, to surrendering to Jesus every day? Because there's always this irrational fear that if we do that, we're going to have God send us to Mongolia or something. And sure, I suppose that could happen, but odds are, God wants you to be more deeply involved in the life you're currently living. Take more deeply the people that you see around you every day. To love God and love neighbor, those that you see right now, who you're going to see tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. Jesus wants to transform you to be the person God knows you can be, living out those fruits of the Spirit, of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. We all know our world desperately needs all of those fruits in abundance in every sphere of our society. Now, if you read ahead, eagle-eyed Bible readers will note there is more in your Bible. Now, there is a shorter ending and a longer ending, but they are not found in our oldest copies of Mark. Scholars debate whether or not Mark wanted to end here. Some scholars have seen the actual manuscripts, and it's torn at this point. So there's a good case to be made that we've lost Mark's ending, and we don't know what he would have said. Now, these two endings are written much later than Mark's book. The short one doesn't even follow Mark's style, but puts a bow on the story for you. It's like somebody added one slide to the end of Castaway, just couldn't deal with the ending, and so added some text that says, Tom Hanks' character eventually got married and lived happily ever after. That's what the shorter ending of Mark feels like. The longer version takes pieces from Matthew and Luke, some other stuff from other places, and tries to make its own. Now, while both of these are interesting to read, I would not base, and this is a good rule in general, I would not base any kind of beliefs or big church teachings on one or two verses in Scripture. Don't build your belief system like that. Now we know, friends, we know about Jesus' resurrection. We are sitting here this morning on March 31st, 2,000 years later, because guess what? The women did not remain silent. There was more to this story. If you'd like a little bow on it, you can go to the book of John for some more details, because Mary Magdalene goes and tells Peter what happens. There's a famous foot race to the tomb, and people start hearing the news that Jesus is alive. Jesus appears to Mary. Jesus appears to the disciples at a very powerful beachside breakfast. Peter is restored. Peter is forgiven. And Jesus tells him to care for the sheep. All this happens. We're here because 2,000 years ago, three women worked through, acted in spite of their fear, their confusion, their bewilderment, and the world has been forever changed. Jesus is victorious over fear, confusion, and even death. So friends, our challenge this Easter and every Easter is this: Jesus is risen. Do you believe it? Do you live like it? Many did not believe the women's story in the first century. Many still don't today. We have questions, we have doubts, we have fears about what might happen if we believe. What people might think if they found out we ourselves are one of those Jesus people. Friends, Jesus is risen. In the middle of our own amazement and fear and confusion, Jesus is risen, and he is victorious over all of it, over all of our fear and confusion. The women followed the angel's words despite what they were feeling. They acted in spite of all their fears. So will you do the same? Will you stay where you are today, or will you keep going, keep moving forward, and seeing what Jesus has for you next? Even in the unexpected in our lives, even in our own amazement and fear and confusion and doubt that we don't know what's going to happen next, the I'm not sure what to do, but this seems right. In all of that, there is incredible joy, friends. There's incredible joy and wonder when we find ourselves going where Jesus calls us to go. Like when my toddler son just found out the joy of popping balloons. Watch this. May we center ourselves in the unexpected joy and wonder in Jesus, because Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord God, we give you thanks for Jesus, the one who came to show us how to live, died, and rose again, so that we can be connected with you now and in the life to come. No matter what this week may bring our way, may our joy come from you, the one who loved us so much you sent Jesus to pay our debt, to pave the way to renewed, restored, and abundant life for all of us. May we choose to surrender our lives to you in spite of our doubts, in spite of our fears, in spite of our questions, to find you waiting for us on the other side. It is in Jesus' resurrected name we pray together. Amen.